welcome back to the Love and Experience Abu Dhabi show. What a show we had for you today. We spoke about why there are more beggars on the streets, why traffic is getting worse, but also major praise for Dubai Police for this one thing.
And so we would really love if you can subscribe to the Love and Experience Abu Dhabi show podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. Enjoy the show.
Good morning, Dubai. Welcome to the Love and Experience Abu Dhabi show, a grand show takeover to highlight the incredible itinerary of experiences you can explore that reflect Abu Dhabi's welcoming Emirati hospitality and unique atmosphere throughout the holy month. To learn more, please visit visitabudhabi.ae. Our top stories for today are:
begging in Dubai increases during Ramadan.
One resident has a very relatable reason to say thank you to Dubai Police.
As well, why did residents stay for long hours, and I mean 3 hours plus, on the roads to Sharjah?
And later on in the show, I'm going to try to learn some more Arabic. Please forgive me for butchering it sometimes. And also, a top YouTuber in Dubai gets the wildest birthday gift.
It is day 159 since the genocide began in Gaza. And according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health in the Gaza Strip, the death toll has risen up to 31,184, while 72,889 have been injured and more than 1.9 million people have been displaced from their homes. And as well, the Dubai Iftar time today is 6:30 p.m. You can find up the date prayer times on our Love in Dubai website.
So good morning to everyone on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, our podcast listeners. However, it's not exactly good morning if you've been awake since
4 a.m.
4 a.m.
4 a.m.
The whole family,
because it is a thing, you know, suhoor, it is in the culture, in the Arab culture. And for whoever is fasting, they wake up before, you know, like the prayer, the morning Fajr prayer actually has or begins. So what we do is we wake up at 4. Our mom just like puts like this like amazing table of suhoor. Of
course. Your mom sounds like such a hero, by the way.
She is. I mean, sometimes I think in my head, like, oh my God, what am I going to do when I am going to grow up and get married? And then I tell my mom, like, listen, I'm going to be living in the same building as you are, and you will be making my food, because she makes such amazing food. Okay. Right. And she goes like, oh, Farah, you're not, because being born here in Dubai and not growing up in Syria, we don't know the culture as much as Syrians. And she just like, she knows. So she wakes up with us. And I think, I'm speaking on behalf of everyone who is fasting, they wake up at 4, have suhoor at 4:30, and then they go to prayer.
Do you mind if we just clarify that? Because before the show, we did a whip around to everyone who's fasting, and Hisham is like, no, he doesn't do that because he goes to bed at 12.
Yeah.
And doesn't wake up, so he just sleeps through.
Yeah.
He doesn't eat after 12, but you? But he drinks until 2.
Yeah.
So it's a mix. So if you're watching right now, what is your, do you... Because I'd also, by the way, I'm going to fast once or twice on the days that I do iftar. So would you recommend just sleeping through? Because I feel like if I wake up, then I'll just be thinking about it. Or would you recommend waking up at 4, 4:30, having the meal until 5?
No, it is healthier to wake up at 4, have a meal at 4:30. Because then when you're going to have iftar, it is going to be like your dinner. And according to nutritionists, which by the way, my friend is a nutritionist, and she has told us that, you know what, like, suhoor is meant to be your breakfast that you would normally have at like 7 or 8. So if you have like a very nutritious, protein-rich breakfast, you're not going to be feeling hungry throughout, which is very important, by the way, if you know what I mean. It's like, I don't know, have you heard of like intermittent fasting diet? It's technically the same ideology. For like Muslims.
So Hashem's doing it wrong.
Yeah, he is, because like he sleeps at 12, you know what I mean? But I sleep at 9:30, I would say, like, during the week.
Yeah.
So of course, like, if I would wait till like, I don't know, like the next day, wake up and it has already, you know, like, khalas, Fajr is like done, I'm gonna be feeling so hungry throughout, you know, the day. Of course I do feel hungry, but I do not feel as hungry as I would normally.
You would if you slept through. Can I just say, it really sounds like you have the most lovely, traditional family home environment.
Yes, and I think as well, Masa, by the way, has. It's you know what I mean? Because I feel like, I mean, we've heard Sandra, our writer, has said that I wouldn't say everyone, as you said, because Hisham does not wake up at four, but people do traditionally, it's better if they would wake up at four, have breakfast, you know, something that's like eggs, cheese, something with like, by the way, like protein-rich breakfast, because then it's going to fill you up, you know? And it's like intermittent fasting, and it's healthy for you. Because Ramadan can go either way. You can either lose weight or gain weight. If you do choose the right, I would say, nutritious, I would say, route, then you will for sure keep your physique in check, and as well, you're going to be healthier. It is.
We'd really love to know your thoughts, and if you have any tips for me, I'm all ears. Let's jump into the top story of the day.
Now, the number of beggars on the streets increased during Ramadan. Ramadan is the month of giving, whether it is through giving food to people or even charity work. Some take that into advantage and use people who are fasting, as in line of that, in the holy month, 17 beggars have been arrested in Dubai on the first day of Ramadan, and as we all know, begging is prohibited in the UAE.
This action of catching beggars is part of an initiative against begging led by Dubai Police, who announced this yesterday, and it's in collaboration with other governmental bodies, including the General Directorate of Residency and Foreign Affairs, GDRFA, Dubai Municipality, and the Islamic Affairs and Charitable Activities Department. Colonel Ali Salam Al-Shamsi, Director of the Suspects and Criminal Phenomena Department of the General Department of Criminal Investigation, stated that among those apprehended were 13 men and 4 women.
He emphasized as well the connection between begging, theft, and the exploitation of vulnerable groups such as children, the sick, and individuals with disabilities for unlawful profit. Now, Dubai police have urged the public to refrain from sympathizing with beggars and to donate only to organized charities. They also stressed the significance of reporting beggars through 901, the hotline of the Dubai police app. Now, itself, the fact that they are begging and they are using the holy month of Ramadan, which is meant for giving, kindness, and just like spirituality to their own advantage, and they're using people who are vulnerable to that, is at this point is very, I would say, very, because I don't want to say any bad words since it's Ramadan. It's a very unkind act. Them
being opportunistic during this time when it's a giving time 100%. And people feel even more guilt, and they feel like they do need to give back. I imagine. Actually, it's funny that this news was announced. One of my friends I was on the phone to, and she said that she was, a guy came up to her, and you know, he had a story, and it's just a really difficult situation to be in. Dubai police have announced 17 people were apprehended on the first day. The UAE, Dubai in particular, you're also will be regulating charities even more so. So, but at least you know that within the UAE, when you donate via the direct channels where it is legal, you know that it's going exactly where it needs to go. There's no question of, you know, undercuts of money going here and there. Like, you know, it's going directly to the people in need 100%. Via channels that you can trust. So I think that is one great thing.
100%. As we've mentioned, it is actually a very... it is sad because, you know, as a Muslim, and you see, like, if someone comes and asks you for anything, we don't say no. We just go like, yes, how can I help you? Because you would want to be kind. And this is what the holy month of Ramadan is all about, you know. Whether it is through money or advice or so on, Muslims do say yes throughout the holy month of Ramadan because they're just trying to be kind and you know, be in tune with the values of the holy month of Ramadan. So the fact that, as you have mentioned, they are opportunists who just want to be taking this to their own advantage and taking it for granted, it's just like, I would say, how would you stand in front of God on judgment day?
Yeah. And there's not, it's interesting because traditional begging is someone sitting on the side of the road and you feel for them and they're asking for money. in other cases, we've had kind of more scamming type opportunities. Yeah. And this isn't related to the story, but it's just a digression. Scam opportunities of, for example, there's a famous story of the men with the suits in mm-hmm. Barsha.
I've heard about it, yeah.
So that you have these guys who say, oh, I've got these five, like Armani mm-hmm. or Gucci suits. I need to get to the airport. I don't have cash. Can you help me? And then you also have the famous stories of people kind of, and we've spoken about them on the show, they have been apprehended and people have called them out of like families coming up in kind of mm-hmm. big cars with, for example, number plates from neighboring countries yeah. like Oman or Saudi. And they say, look, we need gas money. Yeah. And because there's a woman in the car, you trust them, but it's happened again and again. And you kind of begin to question it, especially if you're walking mm-hmm. alone at night, you might feel vulnerable.
That's true, yeah.
But the country is very much on the case yeah. in terms of stamping this yeah. out.
And by the way, I've even gotten, before the whole Palestinian genocide thing in Gaza, I used to get, I think last year, a lot of weird messages of like a mother who would send me pictures of her apparently sons, and they are like, they look horrible. I mean, they look like they are like in camps, they have no food, and one of them, like, you know, and it's just like a very sad scene. And then she would like urge you to send her money. And of course, I have contacted the Dubai police and they're like, no, this is not true. Of course, I mean, thinking about it, I was like, yeah, they're right. Because like, how would she have the internet to come and text me and send me all of these things and send me a lot of details, you know what I mean? Like, some things don't align together. But of course, as a person, as a human, and I think it's not only for Muslims, I think everyone would feel the same way that I do, which is like, hey, I feel bad, I need to give money. And as well, I have a friend who I have texted because she's Palestinian herself. I told her, hey, I'm getting this and that. What should I do? She goes like, Farah, don't. Because her dad responded to one of them and has given money to one of them. And then it never stopped. They keep on asking for more and more and more.
It is a really tricky, moral conscious question to answer. Mm-hmm. And we will all be faced with it in times if you feel in a position of privilege when you have to when you're asked for money and whether or not you give back. Like there's no real right or wrong answer because you're doing the right thing in your heart in that moment. So if you ever have and it has resulted to be a scam, then never feel bad about that. It's just That's an unfortunate true. Occurrence and you felt like you're doing good in your heart.
Yeah.
But do know that there are specific registered ways to donate money in the UAE and you know that it's going to the right place.
100%.
Speaking of regulation in the UAE, we want to give, in our next story, praise for the heroes handing out iftar in busy traffic. So we're going to talk about traffic shortly. But during the first few days of Ramadan, in the last couple of days, since the weather 2 weeks ago, the traffic has been like no other. So this is a moment to praise the heroes out there distributing iftar.
Now, one resident took to Instagram to document her story of praise at Saba Islam posted on her stories that her usual journey from Jeddah to Mardif takes 13 minutes. Yesterday, it took 1.5 hours. Wow. I can relate. We'll talk about that. But I will tell you.
This is a story. It's not new to your ears, but 13 minutes to 1.5 hours. So with the story, she wanted to recognize and shout out Dubai Police for handing out iftar boxes, saying she feels pure gratitude for this initiative. She had no idea she was going to be in traffic for that time. Iftar came during the time that she was stuck in traffic. And just imagine the sense of kind of anxiety and just panic you're feeling. And the fact that Dubai Police were there and there's so many initiatives happening through the city to make sure that people are able to break fast safely if they happen to be on the roads. And this is just one of them. So we love that we're able to use your stories to shout out great deeds. And this is just one of them.
100%. I mean, oh my God, the traffic. I can sit here right now and talk about it for so long because I am a victim of the traffic that has been there. And even, by the way, my friend's mother, who is a pharmacist, she works as well in Al Jaddaf and she lives in Mardif.
Literally the same.
She had to have iftar on the way.
Same.
And it's sad.
Is this Saba Islam? Did she post that story?
No. Her name is Abir, but...
But it's literally just like 13 minutes, blah, 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 and she had iftar. I think this is a story that people are seeing, and it's quite... it's great that we're able to highlight the people who were there during the traffic. And actually, we have a better answer for you, because in recent days, we questioned why the traffic was so bad.
Yes.
But so bringing you into our next story.
I'll be telling you why did residents stay for long hours on the roads to Sharjah. Ever since Monday, roads have been blocked, and not normally blocked, but for example, a route that would normally take you 30 minutes has taken residents an hour. Traffic has been impeccable and unbearable. And while traffic is an issue that the RTA is working on, it still is there, frustrating those going back home, specifically if they have to take the Sharjah route.
So, yes, people are frustrated, but it turns out the reason is far from just an accident on the road. One of the reasons is due to the weather conditions that occurred in the UAE on Saturday and Sunday, which we'll remember for the rest of our lives, as the water from the rain has not been fully drained in Sharjah. It has caused some disruption and chaos leading on kind of major routes between the Emirates. So, for example, if you live near Sharjah or if you travel there and back to work, then you may have experienced it, and that is the reason.
Now, of course, I'm saying this as well, not only according to a study by the World Economic Forum, but spending long hours on the road going to and from work affects your mental health. The RTA has not said anything yet. We are just patiently waiting, and I can confirm that. I have been stuck on the road, not even joking, for almost 3 hours. And I get so frustrated.
One way. Do you live in Sharjah?
No, I don't. That's the thing, I don't. I live in Garhoud, you know what I mean?
But and it's on like, the way, so it's affected.
Exactly.
So the backup is affected. I think it's a collaboration of things. I think the weather certainly affected it. I know on my small bio. Can we just say, though, yes, some of the streets still have rainwater, but there's two sides to every story, and the main roads were cleared with the next day. Like, we went onto the roads the next day, and it was amazing to see how much water had been drained. Mm-hmm. Now, some of the streets still not there yet, obviously, if the traffic is still there. But I know that some people took to Instagram to be like, wow, how is this the same city that we saw yesterday? There was, you know, we were like Venice, and the next day it's like totally clear. So obviously it takes time, but we have to acknowledge that draining is happening.
Yeah, it is happening, but it's not normal because, like, you get frustrated. And you know what I mean? I used to think, like, oh, yeah, it wouldn't affect my mental health, because it does affect your mental health on so many levels. Like, for example, I would have, I would think of, like, a million things I would want to do when I'm back home. But then I get back home and I am already frustrated, already pissed off, already really angry and just, like, you know, I'm starving as well, you guys. Like, you know, mind you, like, you know, not eating does, by the way, get to your, I would say, mental.
We get cranky.
Yeah, exactly. Cranky. You get hangry.
Hangry.
And angry.
Yeah.
Hangry. you get hangry, really. And then it's like, and the whole family is fasting, and the whole family is fighting, and I'm just sort of like, guys, I have been on the road for almost 3 hours.
3 hours
and
is a lot.
And by the way, when I reach home and it's iftar time and we are out there like setting and putting the table and so on, I can hear, you know, like the beep, 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 because the roads are still blocked.
Oh, inside your home, you can hear the traffic.
I can hear the traffic. I can hear everyone being angry. I'm like, you know what?
I hope it passes soon, and I hope if it's due to the rainwater, I hope it's because these things will just take a couple of days. We know that Sharjah was particularly affected.
Yeah.
However, what is your traffic hack? Right. So the Love and Dubai Show goes live on podcast. So if you want to listen on your way home, we would appreciate your listens. I listen to podcasts.
Okay.
And some I do radio. But if I have a long journey, straight into a podcast. I listen to funny ones, informative ones, inspiration ones. It's a whole mix. What about you?
I do too, you know, but then because of how frustrated I am and because of how much it does affect my mental health, I get so frustrated I would just like remove my earphones and just like Just sit.
I'm not going near you if I see you come out of the car after traffic.
No, literally. And then it's like,
I've never seen you so riled up.
No. You know what? The thing is, like, I'm very patient until I'm not. Okay. You know? And the thing is, like, I have been, like, patient, but, like, literally.
But I get it. But, like, if I'm really frustrated about something, the reason I like podcasts is because they take my mind off it. Like, that's what I use them for. Because if I'm stuck in my own head and I have to think about, like, you know, work, life, everything there, that's where, and if I have to look at this traffic and think about the traffic, then my frustration would build. So therefore I'm using it as like, it's like TV, it's something to just, and if I'm, you know, I listen to something kind of mindless and funny because it's just to take my mind off it.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, like I have this thing where like if I am pissed off from something, I cannot put it in capital letters and in red. Cannot even think. I cannot even think. You know, all I can think of is I want this right now, fixed right now, or else I'm not gonna be able to do anything. Because, you know, like let's say I had done something, let's say like I had a bad day at work, right? Normal people would, you know, get home, watch TV, listen to music. I would not. I would like overthink it and get angry and frustrated. And because of the roads, it's not like an easy task for me. And because I like to actively listen to podcasts and actively listen to music, I like to actually understand. But if let's say like there's like this like road,
you know, on that, on the how you said, I think this normal people probably just go home and chill. I would question that we, everyone is different, and how people are at work, at home, and stuff. I wouldn't just assume that everyone is just chill. And I think that what you're describing is probably very real for a lot of people.
Yeah.
That it's the beginning of Ramadan. You know, we're tired, and when you're in unexpected traffic, and as you said before the show, like you had great plans for this time. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, you wanted to go home and work out, and you're not able to. So it's frustrating building it. I get it. So I really hope that traffic soothes and calms.
I really hope so, because as I told you, I told Casey, I had planned to know. I was like, oh yeah, you know, we finished work at 2. I'll be home by 2:30. I will work out. And because it's very healthy, by the way, as well, to work out before iftar, apparently. And I was like, yeah, you know what? And I will be having like my amazing body by Eid. Because after Ramadan comes Eid, right? And I have been reaching home very late. I'm like, it's not working.
She looks fabulous. Doesn't she look fabulous?
thank you.
Okay, so we all hope that the traffic will reduce, because I'm sure a lot of people are in the same boat as Farah. Speaking of fabulous, our next story, we're talking about Movlogs, who got gifted a wild birthday gift. So first of all, happy birthday, Movlogs. He celebrated his birthday this weekend, but this was no ordinary celebration. This weekend, the YouTuber celebrated his 29th birthday and brought together some of Dubai's top YouTubers, content creators. They all came to his home for the big day.
But this wasn't any birthday. Movlogs' moms and sister surprised him with a Mercedes G-Wagon for his 29th birthday. Wow.
Wow.
Mom,
sis.
My birthday is coming soon.
I wonder, so did you see the big reveal?
Yeah.
And in his home, they had put, must have known it was coming. It must be so hard to be a YouTuber at a YouTuber family, because you have to, I guess, there's probably quite a pressure to go big.
That is true.
I guess maybe they could have just done a chill, but there's always a pressure to do something big. So if they decide to, he must have obviously seen what was, he must have known that there was something there.
I mean, if the box is big, he must have known.
It's a huge, massive box in his home. But it could have been, you know, it could have been anything.
Mm. Yeah.
But it was car size. It was a car size box.
Yeah, he probably knew, you know. But as you said, the life of a YouTuber is not easy. Because, like, it's like they are their own brand and they are their own business.
Mm.
So it's like,
it's nonstop.
It's nonstop, and you can't just like, let's say, like hire anyone and just like have that person do the job for them, because they are the job, they are the company.
It's so true, and YouTubers and influencers get so much slack, and by slack I mean they get a lot of negativity for the things that they post. But I'd also agree with you, and I'll always play devil's advocate to that, because I do think that, as you said, they are the brand. It doesn't stop. It's 24/7. And if you stop, then your work stops. The money stops coming through. So it's a constant pressure. Now, obviously, there are some perks. And we are talking about someone who got a G-Wagon for his birthday. There are some books, but I do believe that it's a non-stop thing, and it's creative. It needs to be creative. It needs to be competitive. And you're putting your own self out there for the public court of opinion every single day. Mm-hmm. So not for everyone, I would say.
I mean, yeah. When I see YouTubers and how they live their life, all I can think of is, Farah, what were you doing at 15, why didn't you just have a YouTube video done? Because I always thought in my head, like, hey, I have this like gift of like, I wouldn't say performing, but I'm very much of like an artistic person. Like I can just like have any script, and I'm very good at acting as well. So I just like think in my head, like, what were you doing at 15? You could have been a YouTuber.
But I don't think you could start now.
Yeah, but
if you wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, everyone goes like, oh yeah, Farah, do this, do that. And I had, by the way, I hope no one ever sees my TikTok. But I have, you know, had like some like, I would say like...
Masa has Farah seen them.
Oh my God.
Masa, what are they like? But you do TikToks on Love It Every Day. Are they different?
No, they are different, yeah.
Dancing?
No. It's not that.
You're blushing. That's nice.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You talk about that. Can Instagram hear you, by the way? I try to figure out, guys, if Masa's behind the screen saying Farah should relax because her TikToks are talking about the culture, about history, about news. Like, sounds pretty on brand, I would
say. Yeah. 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 No, actually, yeah.
On brand.
Yeah. I've actually had, you know, some like videos go viral, and some videos get deleted because of like my opinions, because I'm very opinionated as a person. So if I would have my own brand, my mom goes like, oh, Allah yastirna, like God protect us from your mind, and what would you say and what would you not say? Yeah, specifically about the Palestine one.
About Palestine. So as you mentioned, you wish you started a channel when you were 14, 15. Whenever we have people on the show, we say, like, how do you do it? And it's just not stopping. Like, you can have a video that goes viral, but like, and that's what these guys do. Like, Mo Vlogs is famous because he posted a video every single day at 3 p.m. And people try and get into the game. Do they have longevity? Not so much. You know, that's the thing, that like when the big YouTuber scene and everyone comes and everyone's hanging out, but Mo went home, he edited his videos consistently, he faces backlash, he keeps going. And that's kind of what it takes. And I think, and that's how he's managed to have such longevity, and probably why he was able to get a G-Wagon for his birthday.
Maybe I should be like Mo Vlogs and just like continue and live my life.
But it's got to be every single day, right? And maybe even more times. That's unfortunately what the algorithms... The more you post, the more you'll get seen. And once you hit a certain number, you'll get seen even more. So you just have to keep going.
I mean, I used to do videos every single day. But then, and I would like sit and edit the videos and really work really hard on them. But then I'm like, you know what, Farah, because like I'm very opinionated. Not only that, is that... I don't like just like talking about, I would say, anti stuff. I have talked about really like harsh, I would say, topics. And then I don't know, it's like I would say in my head, like, you know what, Farah, since I have reached the number of following, you know, like, let me just like relax for a bit. But maybe, I don't know.
I mean, if you want it, it's only if you want it.
Yes.
It is. Wednesday, I believe. And we nearly draw to the end of our show. But before we leave you, we have a little bit of time for our Arabic phrase of the day. So I'm trying to learn Arabic.
Yes.
But the thing is, Farah will only teach me. I'm assuming this
Syrian
is a Syrian
Arabic
phrase.
It is. Okay, because guys, so correct me if I'm wrong, but Syrian Arabic is, we call it in Arabic, white Arabic. So it's easier and it's understandable throughout different Arabic countries.
It'll be easy for me. Well, yeah. I can I just, the last one you did was Adi Yali مالي ما في مشكلة.
Yes, عادي يعني ما في مشكلة.
Okay, we yeah.
So there is that. Okay. But now I want to teach you something that is in line with Ramadan.
Great. Okay,
now this is a phrase that I would say not only Syrians use it.
Okay.
A lot of people use it. خدلك سورية وعيش عيشة هنية.
خدلك سورية عيشة عيشة
هنية.
Thank you, Masa. Thank
what
you.
What are you saying, Masa? You know this.
Masa saying to teach me some easy words. Because, no. And I also feel when I'm trying to repeat it, and if I repeat it wrong, I feel like I'm nearly like, it's nearly like I don't want to like make fun by getting it wrong.
No.
So if it could be something a little bit easier.
But you got it. She got it. She got it. She got it. Okay. Wait, once again. خدلك.
خدلك.
سورية.
سورية.
Yes. وعيش.
وعيش.
عيشة.
Sorry, وعيش. عيشة.
Yes. هنية.
Where would I use it? What does it mean?
To
That's
people.
Important. That's Farah's face. I think Farah's having a day. what does it mean?
Food. That's so basic.
Okay.
Fine. But fine. Fine.
Just to understand, what does Kudluk Suriya Waish Aisha Hinia mean?
Means if you get married to a Syrian, you will live a happy life. Because of the food. Yeah, because of the food. Because of the food. Yeah.
Okay, it's
yeah.
a saying. So if you get married to. Okay. Okay.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, because of the food. Fine, if you want to ask someone, you can be like, شو فطورك اليوم?
Ask someone what?
What are they having for iftar?
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
شو?
What?
فطورك.
فطورك.
Yes, اليوم.
اليوم means today.
Mm-hmm.
So, شو, what, فطورك, iftar, اليوم, today.
Yes! High
okay.
five!
Thank you.
Did it.
What
okay. By the way, even the other phrase.
Having for sorry, I need to repeat it a couple times or else I'll forget.
Yeah.
Shu iftorak ilium.
Yes.
Shu iftorak ilium. Shu iftorak ilium. Shu iftorak. I really hope I remember.
You will. Oh, come on, you will.
I love the phrases that Farah comes up with. Kudlek Syria Raish Aisha Hinir.
Yes.
If you marry a Syrian, you'll eat well.
Yes. Because Syrians are known for the amazing food.
And I can attest to that because I don't want to talk about food.
She tried ورق عنب yesterday. It's like, and by the way, you would never ever find ورق عنب like that in like restaurants.
No, because I've, okay, I call it vine leaves and the green things that you see in the supermarket. But it was like, the sauce was very buttery or something.
Yeah. No, it's not. Yeah.
That's what Farah's explaining to me, that it's different for Syrians, and she says they're the best, and they
Come
were...
Come on. See, this
it's
is...
the best I've
this
had.
Is,
they were the best I've
is,
had.
Masa?
Masa's saying Palestinians have the best... How do you say it? Or Anab.
Yeah, no, the thing is, it's by the way, it's like, it's always war between all Arab countries. Like, no, our food is the best, no, our food is the best, no, our food is the best. Masa, we didn't do yalanji. We did ورق عنب.
Actually, speaking of, we did put a question because apparently the shawarma in Beirut was dubbed as the third best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, actually, which country has the best? And I know people are saying Turkish, Lebanon. Anyway, we digress, sorry, into food once again. It's 9:05 on this Wednesday morning. If you're still live on the comments, shu iftorak ilyum. And I'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye from me.
Goodbye.